Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Inside EVs podcast for February the 10th, 2022. This is a midweek bonus episode. On today's show, we are pleased to be joined by Ryan O'Gorman from the Ford Motor Company, whose official title is Energy Services Business Manager and Lead Strategist. I'm Dominic Ioni, Inside EVs forum moderator and Inside EVs editor. Joining us today is Tom Malogny, Inside EV's editor and host of the YouTube channel, State of Charge. All right, so before we get going, I'd like to ask you that you please subscribe to the show. If you're watching us on YouTube, please hit that thumbs up button and ring that bell icon for notifications. If you're watching us on Twitch, you can ring that bell icon for notifications as well. All right, so with that out of the way, welcome everybody. Today, we're going to be talking about Ford's intelligent backup power feature that owners of the all-electric F-150 Lightning can use. Basically, the Lightning can act as a power supply for your house if power in your area goes out. In the future, owners with a time-of-use electricity plan from their utility may also be able to power their homes from the truck when the electricity rates are high and charge it back up when rates are low. So a little background about all of this. Tom made a video a few weeks ago that took a deep dive into charging the Ford F-150 Lightning. And near the end, he talked a bit about the intelligent backup power feature. And that generated a number of questions. So he then compiled, 15 of the top questions and got answers from Ford and made a second video dedicated just to that. So, and at the end of that video, he asked if anyone had unanswered questions. And I believe that video now has like 360 some odd comments on it. So it appears that people still have a lot of questions, which is understandable since this is really the first system of its kind offered by an automaker. Tesla, of course, has its like Powerwall system, but that's a bit different. It's like a permanent installation kind of thing. So we've collected some questions from Tom's Ford F-150 Lightning Intelligent Backup Power Everything You Need to Know video, and you can check that out on his State of Charge channel. So we'll ask Ryan these, and if you have your own questions, pop them up in the chat, and we'll try to get to those as well. Ryan, why don't you give us a why don't we start with a brief background on you and your role at Ford, and maybe just a quick overview of the Ford F-150 Lightning Intelligent Backup Power feature.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Dominic, and thank you again, Tom. Appreciate the opportunity to get some information out to your audience. Always a great advantage. Myself, I've been at Ford for most of my career. I've worked, I know you don't want to know where I grew up and all that, but, started out in engineering, moved into more of our strategy environment, and I've been in our electrification organization for better part of 3 or 4 years, and prior to that, working on what electrification will look like for Ford moving forward. So it's been a pretty exciting journey. And when we talk about things like Ford Intelligent Backup Power, it's one of those nice things that transitions that journey of discovery into, actualization into the market for customers. So you spend a better part of your journey learning what customers want, how these products should work, what's important to the customer, how we're going to change their lives, what an electric vehicle can be beyond just, a compliance play or some sort of, little vehicle that runs down the road on electricity. And we started exploring that with customers, and we found a lot of opportunity. And the intelligent backup power is just one of those opportunities, and in my opinion, pretty significant one. As far as that product's concerned, I think Tom's done a really good job of laying it out. And I think we've got a lot of materials up and live now. If you go to Ford.com and you look up the Lightning, we walk through the Lightning itself. We walk through the charging options that customers have, and then we do step into the intelligent backup power product. It's got an entirely dedicated page to itself to help customers answer some of these questions, navigate it. And then obviously with our relationship with Sunrun, we have an opportunity to link out there. And they've also got a live page that helps customers kind of walk through that. So anybody who's not taken that journey yet, it's a decent place to start. What the feature is, though, just simply is, if you buy an F-150 Lightning truck, you're sitting in your living room like myself here, and watching TV and the kids are playing their video games and the lights go out. Your truck is designed, if you have the system installed, which includes your Charge Station Pro, and if you have the extended range truck, you get that with the truck, which, you know, I think Tom covered what that means potentially previously. And then there's an integration system to make sure it works into kind of the electrical system into your house fluently. So your truck's plugged into the garage. You might see a transition of power in your house. You know, power comes back on and you keep watching TV. Kids keep playing the video games. And maybe your neighbor calls you up and says, hey, is your power out? And you have to say, hold on a second, let me check. So that's effectively long and short of it. And then, you know, as we go through this discussion, maybe we can discover some of the ways that customers will get into the system, what their opportunities for, you know, buying it and installing it and those types of experiences.
Great. So they would know, though, if the power does go out, they would kind of know there's a little bit of a transition time.
There's a transition time. So you would see your lights go down just like there's a duration of time that you have to make sure the power's out. And then right. The system would activate. So there's a time period there. But again, you know, if there's a storm out and your power goes out and comes back on, you may not know if the grid came back on and it was just a fluctuation or if your system came on. So it's just one of those kind of cool things, because there's going to be no rumble in your backyard. You know, you won't have
no generators.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the big questions really quickly, we'll pop this up on the screen. Marty Walsh asks, building the F-150 powered only loads equipment. Loads and equipment, additional wear on the battery. I guess those are his biggest questions. Marty's a regular viewer, so we want to take care of him. Wear on the battery, is that like an issue? I mean, I assume you have that covered by warranty and all.
Yeah, great question. So when we think about the usage of the battery, as you're going down the road, you're taking this giant truck, you might be towing, you're doing accelerations up to 50, 60, you know, driving down freeway speeds. As this vehicle's parked in your garage and you're powering your house, a typical home load is going to be around average about 1 to 2 kilowatt hours. And, you know, so your load in your house is less than, say, idling in the parking lot. So from the perspective of utilization for outages, it is more throughput on the battery. And I think Tom covered it in a previous video where he talked about, we're going to watch this in market and we're going to understand how it works. Like you mentioned, we're kind of first to the industry and we're going to make sure that we're doing the right thing for the customers. So right now we don't anticipate significant challenges with the battery warranty, with the backup power system. But we're going to watch and see what happens. And we're hoping it opens more doors.
Awesome. So Tom, I know you have a list of questions there. I don't know.
I could keep Ryan here all day. I went through the comments on the video and I pulled up, I think, some of the most poignant questions, some of the questions that I think multiple people asked. And I will also urge people, if you haven't seen that first video, to watch it, because, you know, some of the comments I'm seeing already were covered in that first video. We're not going to duplicate some of the things that we talked about in the first video. This is kind of like a follow-up to get the things we didn't really cover. And before I get into my big list of questions, I see some 3 or 4 of the first few questions all have to do with proprietariness, Ryan, you know, and will this system work? Like one person said, I'm buying a Lucid Air, which has bidirectional power feed. Let's say they've got a Lucid Air in their garage and an F-150 Lightning, and they have your system and they're out driving the F-150 Lightning, but they parked the Lucid Air, plugged it in. Will that be able to work with your system, or is it going to only communicate with Ford products?
That's a good question. And I think a lot of people have identified, I saw one who knew the standard. There's an ISO standard out there that's coming that's going to make this kind of fluent and interoperable. Right now, that standard is not available. And what Ford's done is we recognize we're serving our customers first. And so the Ford F-150 customer will be able to use that product to power their house. Additional products for V2H at this time with that system, they're not out there. So as they come out, we'll explore what the opportunities are for those other systems to integrate. But at this time, our priority is to make sure that the Ford F-150 Lightning customer with that giant battery they're going to get with the extended range vehicle can power their house. So that's the number one priority, and that's what we're going to be delivering to the customers.
Mm-hmm. Right. So Brandon followed up with a straightforward question. Does it use the ISO 15188?
So ISO 15118-20 is the new standard that will be coming out, and that's not released yet.
Okay. Okay. So, and I'm going to follow that up because one of my questions way down on my list today was, let's say we didn't get the Charge Station Pro, but we got another charging station that is vehicle to grid capable. Wall Box is coming out with the Quasar, Lucid's going to have their own bidirectional. Is it your intention, maybe at launch, because you don't have these products to check it, but is it your intention to make the F-150 Lightning work with these other products, or are you going to say, no, it's you're going to need Charge Station Pro to have the vehicle communicate?
Yeah, it's a good question. One we probably can't answer right now because those products aren't in market. The F-150 is going to be first to market with this, and then we're going to navigate the landscape as we move forward. The cool part is, the F-150 Lightning is, you can receive over-the-air updates. So it'll have the power-up capability that Ford's offering, and therefore opportunities moving forward, assuming other manufacturers go the DC route for discharging vehicles into homes and structures. There could be opportunities on how you would integrate with those other products. But for now, again, our main focus is our customers and making sure they get what they need when the lights go out. I mean, you want your food, you want your water, your shelter. Now you need electricity, especially if you have kids. I mean, I can tell you I wouldn't make it an hour with my four kids at home if the power was out for very long. So
understandable. So now I'm going to jump to some questions I know you can answer. Those are some of the questions we got on the fly. Sure. And before we start, I know Dom posted that price isn't available yet or soon, we're told. Please don't ask questions about the price of the auxiliary equipment that you're going to need. Ford hasn't released that yet. They promised they're going to soon. But I know a lot of people have that question, and we're not going to pull that up because we're not going to get an answer for that today. But Ryan promised us that that is coming pretty soon. Well, it has to because the truck's coming soon. Yep. So pricing should be out relatively quickly. So Ryan, let's talk a little bit about the Charge Station Pro and how it's wired. We talked in the last video that you don't need a 100-amp circuit to power Charge Station Pro. If you don't have it, you can derate the unit and say only deliver 40 amps. And if you do that, some of the people questioned, well, what if you derate it down to 20 amps? The Ford Station, then can the Lightning deliver the 40 amps to the house? I believe, and I can get this 100% clear from you, I believe you need two feeds coming to Charge Station Pro, right? One that's going to power the truck, and then the other feed is what's going to deliver power to your house.
That's correct. Yeah, it's a good clarifying question. So the way the Charge Station Pro works is there's two functions to it. One is to charge your vehicle as you identified, and we've given a lot of flexibility there because, as you mentioned, the way a person's electrical system is set up in their house can vary. I live in a house that was built in 1845. Wow. And there's people who live in houses that were built yesterday, right? So when you think about that, the modernization of the electrical system in the home, the capacity of that electrical system in the home, it's all over the place. So what we decided was, in charging, we wanted to give, it's the F-150, right? You want to make sure they have the best in class, they can do what they need to do, and then it's up to choices on them, right? I mean, we give them full towing in this truck, and if you want to, tow a trailer or tow a jet ski, right, you have that option. Similarly, with the Charge Station Pro for charging, you can charge all the way up to that 19.2 kilowatts. That will replenish your battery if I've taken a weekend trip or towed the boat to the lake, whatever. You can replenish your battery overnight. That's the main goal, is to give customers that opportunity. Now they have choices. So yes, they can dial it back, like you mentioned, and they can install it all the way down to that 20 amps. When it comes to backup power, it's a different lifestyle choice, right? That's, my power's out, the lights are out, what can I do? And so what we've designed, the backup power system, kind of isolated from that. That way you don't have to, if I'm derating my charging, I also have to derate my discharging. We didn't want to kind of put customers in that sticky scenario. So they still get the full 9.6 kilowatts, even if they've derated. So you're correct. I have an AC line from my panel flowing into my truck while the power's on. And when the power goes out, I have a DC line flowing out of that into the home integration system to work right into the outlets and lights and everything in my house that's already wired. So you don't have to compromise your power outage capability if you have a decision to make and choose to, downrate the power of the charge station. So yes, absolutely. It's a great clarifying question. Thanks.
Okay, and a quick follow-up on derating Charge Station Pro. How is that accomplished? Are there dip switches that you would set inside the unit, or do you do it through an app? Because some charging stations do it either way.
So to be compliant with electrical code and regulations, there is a hardwired dip switch in the device. So you would set that to the breaker level that you would put into the box, whatever you can contain, whether that's the 100 amps or on down. And then we also do offer, same with our connected charge station, we have a, what we call a digital D rate. And basically you can slowly increment that down. So there might be reasons you want to charge slower. Maybe somebody wants to charge at a low rate all night. And we do offer that opportunity to change that charge rate on the charge station, Ford connected charge station, and it'll be available on the Ford Charge Station Pro. But the maximum would be the installed and what that dip switch is set at.
Exactly. Okay. So I could just keep going. I don't know, Dom, if you want to ask a question or if you want me to just keep blasting away.
There's some interesting ones in the questions in the comments here. So, how would two Lightnings be wired, switchable between each truck? So if you have a customer who buys two trucks and then somebody piles on that question a little bit farther down, and what about like if a commercial fleet has like a number of F-150s powering at once? I don't know how is that like a, I guess it's achievable, right? But I don't know.
It's a good question. So I'll start with how does the system work? So when you install your Charge Station Pro and you've installed your intelligent, your home integration system, and then you have intelligent backup power on those products, you would bring your vehicle into the garage and you would match that vehicle to the Charge Station Pro. So they communicate and know each other, basically pairing them. Once they're paired together, then I might get a second F-150 Lightning. I might have a relative who has an F-150 Lightning. I can also add that truck to the pairing. So I can have as many trucks as I want integrated with that one system. And, once I do that, then I can share the wall box too for charging as well. So if I want to lock my wall box out to keep Charge Station Pro from people using that charge station, then I can lock that out and I can share that. So within one installation, you can use multiple vehicles. So if I had two vehicles or I had friends with vehicles, or maybe I install this at my parents' house just in case, and I can bring my vehicle over there and my brother has a vehicle, there's all kinds of opportunities there. When it comes to multiple systems, we really have designed the system for first and foremost residential use. But as people look at how the system could be installed, there are opportunities where you could have parallel systems installed at a site. But our main priority right now is for folks who live in a house, like they had in Texas. I was down there in February last year. I think I mentioned that before. But, when you see events like that and you think about, what's going on, typically you're not like headed into work when the power goes out. You really want to get home to your family, make sure everything is safe, make sure everybody's fine. So that's our priority, is making sure those residential customers have that capability first.
Great. And to follow up along the same lines, let's say I have two F-150 Lightnings, and I want to buy an extra Charge Station Pro. Can the Charge Station Pro's load share? I pull one 100 amp circuit to my garage, and the two Charge Station Pros will intelligently split power so I can charge at the same time?
It's a good question. At this point in time, our charge stations do not load share, but our charge stations do have the capability for software updates and firmware updates. So we've already done that with our Ford Connected Charge Station. We've done several in market customers in the future to not be limited by what the charge stations can do. So we're going to, as we continue to move through forward with the customers on this journey on this new equipment, this new landscape of electric vehicles, how they work, how customers interact with them, we've enabled all these products to be able to meet the needs of these customers as we continue to move forward. So keep stay tuned, we'll say.
Yeah, I think that would be a great option if you do enable that, because of the fact that, somebody, if they do a dedicated 100 amp circuit, you could be putting 50 amps into each vehicle if you have multiple vehicles in the household, and even for business use. So that actually, hopefully you'll be able to enable that, because I think that'd be a great feature. I know the third party charging stations that do it now, like the NLX Juice Box and Wall Box and so forth, some of them, a lot of my followers love that feature. They're multiple EV households. They don't have to pull two circuits. So hopefully we'll get that enabled pretty soon. Okay, let me ask you another question. Which one do I want to pull off of this one? We talked in the last interview, and I might have gotten this a little unclear, about being able to use your solar array while there's a power outage. And I wasn't exactly, you had said, sure, what if you have that transfer switch, your house becomes an island. So yeah, your solar array could contribute to powering the house. But I wasn't 100% clear if it can do that while Charge Station Pro is also powering the house. could they work in tandem, or would it be, okay, the house is powering on the solar while the sun's out, and then once the solar array shuts off, now backup power does powers the house. Can they work together?
So the short answer is yes. The longer answer, and you know, you've heard me say this to you and you've asked the question, it's just the reality is houses are so different. Installations are so different. Several people already have solar, have stationary storage, things like that. If we start clean with clean slate and we say, hey, you're going to install Ford system. Absolutely. Ford system is designed to do that. You install it, you install the home integration system. And many people are familiar with the terminology inverter. That's the thing that takes your power from DC and puts it into usable energy into your house. That inverter within the home integration system is designed such that you can power your vehicle, you can put a solar array on it, and you can put two stationary storage units attached to that. So that one unit can handle all four of those. And as you would work with Sunrun as our, you know, recommended or preferred installer, they can offer you some of those options. So in a kind of a clean install, absolutely it can do that. In an existing install, that's really going to depend on what the installation looks like. That's one of the reasons we've also worked with Sunrun on this, is because they can walk into your house, do a full assessment, best in industry, in my opinion, on solar and storage, and they can assess what you already have, what your opportunities are, what makes the most sense for the customer with those assets in their house. And so in some scenarios, it might be isolated and you'll have two systems. You'll have the Ford system that goes in and you'll have your existing system. And to your point, solar as an install without any sort of storage, when the power goes out, sun can be shining and you don't get any power. You know, that's a very unfortunate thing. And I think some people just don't realize that when they install it until the power goes out and they're like, what the heck's going on? With this truck, you will have that storage unit while it's there to power the system and enable the disconnect from the grid so that the solar can shine. So what in that case, what you would see is the truck would be basically powering the system to get it online. Once it's online, it would maintain the system while the power into your house would come off your solar. And as the sun would set, then your truck would come back online and the power would start flowing from your truck. So you can think of it as kind of like I've got two units and the power is coming from whichever one of those based on the sun. And so that to the points you guys have asked in the past, you know, that would extend the duration of time that you would actually be able to facilitate a power outage. So it's a big opportunity for customers. And there's going to be a lot of questions about, hey, I've got an existing system, you know, XYZ, what can I do? And we would really defer them to the installer to do a full evaluation of what system they have, what kind of obligations they have with that system, and then what they can do. But generally, we're expecting a lot of people to just be kind of brand new to this and be really excited to like either go all in, go in with just a backup power system, but we've opened that door again to allow customers to get the full Monty or down to whatever they're most comfortable with and makes sense for their lifestyle.
But I got you. And thank you for answering that, but I might just not be absorbing 100% of what you said. My quick question is, okay, let's say I have my solar array and let's say you get a Sunrun system, right? Everything's integrated the way it should be. Yep. The solar array is only putting out 3 kilowatts. My house needs 6 kilowatts. Will the truck then provide the other three, or is it either or?
No, it would be, you'd have both systems coming into the house and you would balance out. The solar would be your priority and then the truck would reserve its energy. So yeah, that's basically how the system would operate.
Great, I just wanted to be crystal clear on that. Now, quick question on I believe when we had the last conversation, you said that you're gonna have a dedicated sub panel, right? That system is gonna work off of. You'll have to choose the circuits that you want powered in your house. I believe that's the case. Would it be possible to do, like some generators allow you to have a load shedding transfer switch where it basically powers your whole house, but then you just set things up in priority and it'll only power up to what it can and then shed the circuits that aren't necessary. Will that be an option, or will you have to say, okay, I need my lights, I need my computer, I need my refrigerator, and just the important things, and that's all you're going to get power for? How's that going to work?
So it's a good question. So first and foremost, we're putting 9.6 kilowatts out. So in your typical installations, you know, that's going to cover the majority of customers, right? I mean, you're going to be able to do this. Now, if I'm, you know, you've mentioned this in a prior cast, and you know, if I have an electric stove, an electric oven, you know, an electric dryer, and for some reason I want to dry my clothes and cook all at the same time while the power's out, yeah, you're going to have to make choices, and there's some limitations on that. So when it comes to the load shedding and what can you do, there are opportunities in market when you work with your installer, ideally Sunrun, and they'll be able to navigate you through that. So It's hard to give a holistic answer. I think when we say, hey, there's a critical loads panel and you're going to make choices, that's pretty much your kind of standard install for backup energy, right? I mean, that's just typically how it would work. There are opportunities, though, if somebody wants to get something a little bit more sophisticated. The home integration system as it stands doesn't do load shedding on its own, but there are devices that you can install that facilitate using that 9.6 kilowatts in a facilitated manner, similar to what you're talking about. Well, we've really targeted, how do we solve this problem for our majority customer, right? So if I look at kind of your bell curve, most people, this is going to work kind of out of the box and it'll work really well for them. So we're hoping that as we work forward, we see how many of these, I don't want to call them edge cases, but how many of these cases we see and what we should be doing moving forward, Do we reinvent the system? Do we expand the system? What are the opportunities? So really going out of the chute with something that's going to work for the majority of people who, when your lights go out, they want it to come back on. I mean, 9.6 kilowatts, people don't usually fathom that, but, a typical house isn't using 9.6 kilowatts at a given time. There are some inrush currents and things like that from some of your heavy loads. But again, 9.6, depending on what you're doing. And the nice part is homes are getting more efficient too, right? So some of these appliances, even your lights, every light you see in the background here is an LED. Just your loads in general are coming down so significantly in efficiency that, this system is going to become more and more capable with 9.6 kilowatts. I mean, that's 9,600 watts. I mean, the number of Christmas lights you can put on that is, you could be Chevy Chase and light up your whole house if you really wanted to, right?
Right on. Hey, we have a couple questions about just the market availability. So one here from Red Edwards, will Ford work with NIO? NIO is a Chinese automaker and it's not available in the US, but they are in Europe now. So is this a US only system for now?
At this point in time, it's a system that will be offered here in North America. Okay. And we are obviously, we never stop running, right? I mean, we're running every day. And okay. So we're looking at, where we go from here. This is going to be just a phenomenal opportunity for Ford to have given the customers something they've really identified as a significant need in their lives, especially with electric vehicles. And we just look at the power outages. I mean, they're happening all the time. I think I had five this summer. Here in Michigan. And that's kind of untold, right? So thinking about how this will take off and change those lives and the power level we're offering, the access, the battery size. I mean, it's just all these things are just really kind of a sweet spot right now. And as we move forward, we're going to continue, add some sugar to that, make it sweeter.
So the second part of that is Sunrun is not in every state. This is from I can't even pronounce Maria. I don't know. So anyway, is Ford preparing to support customer questions for those outside their service area, outside the Sunrun service area?
Sure. So Sunrun doesn't do solar in every state. And as they move forward, they're going to continue to expand to facilitate support for our customers across the country. We will definitely be able to provide service and access to this capability for customers who don't live in a Sunrun service territory. And as we move forward, we hope to expand that and make sure that we get the best experience for all customers. But, there's going to be people who live in rural areas and there's going to be people that, want this because in rural areas, a power outage is just as real as it is in the city. So those folks will have access and will have the right materials and support to get a qualified installation professional to put the system in their home. Yes, we're Ford Motor Company. We want to take care of everybody.
Sweet.
Thanks. So, Ryan, for the followers that don't know, Ford has Pro Power Onboard with the Lightning, which is there's regular outlets to 120 volt and 240 volt outlets on the Lightning that can power tools and so forth and so on. I had a question that somebody asked, will you be able to use Pro Power Onboard at the same time that you're using intelligent backup power? So you'd have an extra 30 amps that could run additional items while intelligent backup power was providing 9.6 kilowatts to your house.
Yeah, this is the extension cord to the neighbor's house question, right?
Yeah.
So, so unfortunately, at launch, the way the systems operate, one system, Pro Power and Board, is designed mainly for helping people who want to plug things in and make them work. So you think about on the go, I'm at the work site, I'm at the campground, I'm out at the beach, I'm, wherever I might be. And so the system's designed with the 11 outlets. You've got four in the Mega Power Frunk, which, whatever you want to get the crock pot going on your way to the, the way to the meeting or whatever, the tailgate, you got your hot food when you show up. You have some outlets inside, and then obviously you have the what I call them the work outlets in the bed. Mm-hmm. But those are designed so that I can be driving around. I can use them all over the place. And with the backup power, you're plugged in, right? And you're typically the vehicle's in your garage powered off. You can power on the vehicle. Pro Power On Board requires the power to be on. But you can't be in gear with the backup power system, and you can with Pro Power On Board with the settings. So right now there's a little bit of a divorce between the two systems. But like I said, Ford has the power up capability to send new software down to the vehicle. So any question that's being asked, I guarantee we're looking at that question, figuring out what the best opportunity for the customer is.
Okay. And then to follow up. So let's say you don't have the money to install Ford Intelligent Backup Power. You know, it's going to be costly, I believe, at least the price hasn't been released yet, but I know the equipment that's needed. We went over that in the first video, and that equipment's expensive. So let's say you don't have the money to install the Intelligent Backup Power. Can you install a manual transfer switch in your house and then plug into the Lightning's 30 amp Pro Power onboard? And then you'll have 7 kilowatts to your house and power and backfeed your house that way, because that's how regular generators work. Friends of mine have the transfer switch set up in their house, and they have their critical loads on a 30 amp line, and their gasoline generator powers their house during power outages. Could we do that with the Lightning? And then it would be like a poor man's intelligent backup power system. You'd get 30 amps, but you'd be able to power critical loads. Could you do that?
So it's a good question. The system is designed with the home integration system and to be UL listed, to be certified and qualified to work in electrical systems as it's designed. And then with Pro Power On Board, that system's designed for if I want to run some extension cords into my house to power my refrigerator, to power a space heater, to power some of those things. And we saw that with the Power Boost down in Texas, our hybrid, which also has Pro Power On Board. And so those opportunities are there. As far as using the outlets as a, you know, as you said, a poor man's system, somebody who would explore that option definitely needs to look at the electrical code, needs to work with an electrician and make sure what they're doing is within code. We've not designed the system that way. We've designed the system to integrate into the house completely with the 9.6 kilowatts, because that's really what we've identified that customers want and need. Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like technically the truck would continue to deliver 30 amps from the 240 volt outlet to power appliances during a power outage.
Yeah, if somebody wants to run some extension cords into the house and stuff like that, some people have built panels, right? They've built their own panel from the 240 volt that you can use that way. That's on the users who want to do those types of things. We don't certify or guarantee that type of equipment. That's relatively aftermarket. But as far as what we're offering, yeah, we get that 9.6 kilowatts right into your neural system in your house to make sure that that works the way it should.
Excellent. So here's a question. I got this. A lot of people ask this one. Can you use the intelligent backup power system when there isn't a power outage? Just say to save money on your electric. You know, you have to charge the truck up at night when your electric is cheap. You have a time of use plan, and then let it power the house during the day when your electric's expensive. Will you be able to physically do that? I know you're not going to recommend it, but would you be able to do it?
The system is not designed to use the system when the power is live or to create artificial power outages. You know, what the customer does in that regard, we don't have control over. It's not recommended. But we've teased and we've talked about, we are bringing what's called intelligent power. So if that's really your want, you want to, you know, power your house when costs are high and maybe catch some renewables or charge up overnight when costs are low, really, really powerful on the West Coast. And I think out where you are on the East Coast, it's also very relevant. But it's an option for every EV owner. We are introducing intelligent power in the future. So if you get this system, through software updates, there'll be the opportunity to do that. So while we are not endorsing anybody using the system as it's not intended, we're basically saying, hey, hang on, we're bringing some more stuff here in the future. So if you're excited about that opportunity, certainly there will be more to hear on that as we continue to move forward. But the backup power system is really designed to identify when your power's gone out. Right. And then once your power has gone out, the system is designed to automatically or within your control react to that power outage and provide power back to the house.
So basically, not now, but probably in the future.
Not probably, but yes, in the future, There will be something coming that will allow people to leverage their vehicle. And my favorite shift in the market that, you know, I'm really interested to see how sticky it is. I mean, obviously I'm not in a Ford facility right now. All these folks who are buying these vehicles now could be sitting there in their garage or in their driveway all day long, right? And not at a workplace or work site. So when you think about how is this going to work when people drive off to work, and is this going to be, you know, we're not getting those questions like, will this be available at work so I can do it at work and at home? Now it's you work at home, a lot of people. And so your asset that you're spending, this big vehicle, now it's not just sitting there useless. It's going to be able to be used for things like, you know, shifting energy, making the grid more reliable, you know, using the solar that's on your roof and putting into the truck so you can use it in the evening when, you know, the grid gets dirty and stressed, you know. So there's all kinds of cool opportunities coming. So yeah, I'd love to tell you more. It's going to be really exciting as we open the book on that one.
Well, I'm warning everybody, when the day comes that Ryan and Ford opens that up for you to allow to do that, watch for your warranty terms to change. Now, I know Ryan doesn't want to comment on this at this point, but if you're using your battery to save money and power your house daily, discharging, charging, the warranty terms are going to change. And they should, in my opinion, because Ford's selling you this battery to use to propel your vehicle. And if you're using it to do all this other kind of stuff, at some point, not just Ford, all the OEMs, and I've had conversations with numerous OEMs on this subject, because this is coming. I mean, the vehicle to grid, vehicle to home, vehicle to load, whatever you want to call it, this is going to be commonplace in 5, 6, 7 years from now. The manufacturers are going to have to take a hard look at what percentage of your usage is for driving the vehicle and what percentage is to, you know, power your home and do all this other stuff. And there's going to be, you know, modifications to your vehicle warranty, I believe, to your battery warranty based on what you use. I know Brian probably wouldn't comment on that at this point. We got this out in the last video. At this point, Ford is not making any modifications. You could use the battery with your intelligent backup power any way you want, and it's not going to modify your warranty. But when they open it up, as Ryan was saying, to do future things, I believe it's going to modify. It's going to change the warranty. All right. So I got load sharing. Okay.
While I won't comment on warranty, Tom, I would like to say there's several ways to peel that onion. So we'll just we'll hold out for that. And I think we're going to be, you know, first to market on this. So mm-hmm. Our learnings are going to be substantial. So it's going to be really interesting to see how many ways we can offer those opportunities to the customers and what the what you know, if there's challenges, what those challenges are. But Ford's fantastic at overcoming challenges. You know, I'm a little bit biased, but I work with some of the smartest people in the industry. And, you know, I feel dumb most days. So, you know, just to put that out there, that we're going to solve problems for customers. They're our number one, first and foremost. So if that's what customers need, we're going to work out how to make it work.
I have a couple really quick questions from the audience. So is that noise from...
Nobody's I'll go on mute. I have work being done in my basement. I'll go on mute.
Okay. Arsalan Hamad asks, also, why is the backup power limited to 9.5 kilowatts as the F-150 hybrid has such a small battery and can give 7 kilowatts of power while Lightning has at least 135 kilowatts of battery? I imagine that's like just a hardware and cost kind of situation.
Yeah, good question. Why 9.6? So when you look at the market and you look at your kind of, you know, typical home, you look at the typical power loads, what would be closest to whole home generation that would help customers meet their needs and what they need to do? 9.6 is a sweet spot. So could it be bigger? It could be bigger. It could be smaller. This is our entry product into the market. And I think what we were looking for was to try to meet as many customers' needs as we could possibly do. You know, we could have targeted 19 kilowatts, right, and shot for the 5,000 square foot houses and things like that. But realistically, we wanted to make sure that the people that buy the F-150 are folks who we really, you know, love and want to support and provide product to. That's what we were targeting. So the 9.6 is where we landed.
We have a number of Mach-E owners and people curious about the Mach-E as well, wondering if an update could be use that vehicle for this backup power system as well.
Love this question. Keep asking it. You know, our vehicles all have our electric vehicles will have the power up capability for software downloads. And with that capability, you know, we'll see what the future brings. Right now, our focus and our heads are down on this F-150 Lightning. Bring it to market is the tool for America, right? I mean, this is the thing that everybody relies on. Everybody knows somebody with an F-150, right? You need to get something. You got to go pick up a dryer. You want to bring your kids to college. You know, you need to get some work done. You call your friend who has the F-150 if you don't have one yourself. So right. Now what we've done is we've taken that tool and we've made it an army knife. I mean, the thing has incredibly more capacity and capability. And so we're going to keep moving forward. As far as the Mach-E, I love that vehicle. Just love it. It's an awesome vehicle. And to enhance it with something like this would be really interesting. So
that is an awesome question. I wasn't going to ask it because I really thought it was, the answer would be that no, it's just not technically capable of doing it. And if I know Ryan couldn't come right out and say what's going to happen in the future, but if you read between the lines, that is very encouraging for Mach-E owners.
Yeah.
And that's awesome that we can you know, share that here. Well, no promises, but
don't count your chickens.
But I love the way Ryan answered that question. So Ryan, I had this really interesting question that I skipped over, but then I came back to it and said, you know what? It's actually a legit question. One person asked me, what if there's a power outage and it affects the local cell towers? The house won't have cell service or Wi-Fi capability. You know, what if you don't have it on automatic, you have it on manual, where you have to pull out your cell phone and turn the system on? Will you be able to turn it on if you don't have any cell service?
That's a great question. And, you know, I'd love to throw a joke out there and say, I wish we had thought of that, but we have. So we've set the system up such that recognizing, you know, I was in Texas, like I said, in February last year. That's probably the most, besides the one, I think we had a power outage back in like 2011 in the Midwest, where it was like basically New York through Michigan was dark.
I've only experienced 2 weeks.
Yes. Yeah. And I grew up in the South, you know, I grew up in hurricane country. So I'm very familiar with back then, you know, power outages took a lot longer to come back online. Today we're more on demand and it comes back up quicker. But in general, thinking through that and, you know, working with customers to understand, like, what are your hardships? What is life really like when the power goes out? And you realize there's going to be customers out there that they're just isolated. Right. They have their house and that's it. They can't go outside because of the weather. The cell towers could be knocked down. The cell service could just be out because the provider and other things could happen. When I was in Texas in February and they had their, you know, their Michigan winter, we'll call it, cell towers went out. I mean, we had no cell service in the house. I think one of us did. One provider managed to get you one bar, but no cell service, no Wi-Fi, nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. You're on a desert island. Fortunately, we have some really smart people that work here, and we figured out how to, even if you didn't set the system up when you first got it, you forgot, you procrastinated, whatever hardship you may have come through, you can initialize the system, you can communicate between the truck and the Charge Station Pro, get it set up, and the system will then be ready to operate. So if it's installed properly and you've already had the electrician come in and everything was installed the way it should be, then fully offline, no cellular, no Wi-Fi, the system will come back online. And the one kind of compromise you have there, and it's outside of our control, is you won't have your Ford Pass app to sit comfortably in your house to control the truck. But if you want to go out to the truck, we do provide controls on the truck through the screen in the center, or our 15-inch or 12-inch screen, whichever version you get. You can go into that and you can navigate to the feature. You can change the settings. You know, you talked about the energy reserve and the ability to reserve certain amount of energy. You can change that if you want. You know, you might have to get an umbrella out to go out there and change it in the truck. So we're hoping that you'll still have the cell service, which in most power outages you do, because they're more spotty typically, right? Just trees falling down and things like that. So, but if you do have one of those blanket outages, absolutely. Yeah, we're making sure the customer still has access to that capability on their vehicle, because that's really important, because you are in a situation where it's just super uncomfortable, and to leave you in that situation wouldn't be ideal.
Okay, yeah. So I know we only have about 15 minutes left, and there's a couple of questions, Dom, that I have to get to.
Yep.
So I want to jump in now and do those.
Sure.
So it's in relation to Tesla vehicles and other electric vehicles, because on the Sunrun website, Sunrun, I know Ford isn't responsible for that, it states that Ford Charge Station Pro can charge any electric vehicle sold in North America. Now, we all know Tesla uses a different adapter, and there are some electric vehicles that don't use the CCS standard. They use CHAdeMO. So the Ford Charge Station Pro uses the CCS connector, which I have here, actually. This is the CCS connector that Ford Charge Station Pro uses. Tesla uses a different adapter. When you're charging level two and level one on Tesla vehicles, you can use this adapter, which plugs into the J1772, but it will not plug into a CCS because there's always a little tab in between the DC pins and the J1772, and it will not allow the Tesla adapter to snap in. And also, when you have a CHAdeMO-equipped vehicle, CCS pins won't latch to that vehicle. I'm assuming Sunrun's website is just incorrect, Ryan, and you will not be compatible. Ford Charge Station Pro will not be compatible with Tesla vehicles or CHAdeMO-equipped vehicles. Is that correct?
So I just want to clarify the question so I know I'm answering correctly. So you're asking, will the Ford Charge Station Pro charge vehicles that don't follow the common ISO standard for CCS in North America?
Yes.
Is that okay? That's correct. The answer would, at this point in time, the answer is yes. We've designed the product to facilitate CCS ISO standard, which is the most prominent standard here in America, and as far as like multi-use vehicles. And so we've designed it for that capability. So when you say all, it would exclude proprietary solutions and things that aren't standard with CCS. So the ISO standard is what we've approached. And when the claim that Sunrun may have put out there, they're probably, you know, referring to the fact that all CCS vehicles, which is, you know, pretty much every vehicle that's coming into the States now or built in the States, has that coupler on it. So the one that you held up is required for DC fast charging at most locations. And then you brought up you identified the adapter solutions. So as we go to market with this product, we're obviously going to watch for the dual EV homes. We're going to watch for customers and what they're looking for and what they need. And as that propagates, we'll understand what the opportunity is to facilitate and help customers solve some of those problems. And but yeah, we're bringing to market what is the most common standard across kind of units in market that meets that regular ISO standard. So looking at, you know, like you said, CHAdeMO, Tesla, some of the other opportunities that customers have in the way of purchasing product, those don't follow that common standard in market. And, you know, our product right now is not designed to fit those ports because we only have one coupler we can put on the thing. And then how adapters propagate themselves in market, sometimes they're aftermarket, sometimes OEMs step up and sponsor those types of adapters. We'll see how that space evolves. But for right now, again, you know, really putting priority on our F-150 Lightning customers. We love those customers. You know, the F-150 customer is just like bread and butter of the industry. It sets a staple for how things work. And so we prioritize that. And we'll continue to watch the space. And Ford's very responsive to their customers today. So we're gonna see what the need is and figure out how to navigate to the most appropriate solution.
Thanks. But just to be clear, I believe the Sunrun website specifically says including Tesla vehicles. So maybe we should have communication between Ford and Sunrun and tell them, hey, no, this, you can't use Ford Charge Station Pro with Tesla vehicles.
No, you helped us considerably with the 32 amp original statement on the site, which was accurate but not complete. And so what I'll do is I'll yeah 320
yeah.
amp yep
yeah
so I'll take that away. Glad to catch things like this and make sure that the customers have the information they need, and we'll take a review on that and make sure that we do likewise. So appreciate the call out. I love that you keep us honest.
Well, that's what we're here for, but we love that you're coming on and willing to have this conversation. And even talk about some of the challenges. Like, this is one of the challenges, is that this is new. You're the first to do this. So it's not surprising that Sunrun, for instance, who aren't in the business of charging electric vehicles, doesn't understand that there's Tesla proprietary connectors, there's J1772, there's CCS, there's CHAdeMO. So no, you know, a CCS connector will not charge a Nissan Leaf or you know, another CHAdeMO vehicle or a Tesla vehicle, even though there's adapters. The adapters are for J1772, not for CCS. So, I mean, it's complicated stuff. You know, it's, people are, you know, used to filling their cars up with gas. That gas nozzle fits into every car, unless it's diesel. That's a little different. But with electric vehicles, the whole refueling process a little bit more complex, and it's understandable that people make mistakes.
And it is complex, but it's also simpler, right? So if you think about what we're doing with our F-150 Lightning, the extended range, it's unprecedented, right? We're giving you the charging solution with the truck. You get that big battery, you get home, you don't have to make decisions. You don't have to go out and research and figure out what you need, right? You install that system. It's designed for you. It's designed for your vehicle. You know, you make life a lot easier. And then I love to think about just the concept of charging. You know, people constantly ask questions of me and other people in our industry, right, with electric vehicles. What am I going to do? How am I going to do this? I go to the gas station, blah, blah, blah. And I said, imagine if a tanker truck pulled up to the house every night around 1 a.m. and filled your cars full and then drove away, and you woke up every morning with a full tank of gas. What would that feel like? Like, how would that feel to you? And we're giving them that capability. Even if they decide to hook a boat up, go out to the lake and come back and they're on, you know, empty, they can still wake up the next morning with that tanker truck having showed up and filled up their truck. And people, when they start experiencing and living it, they're like, wow, just wow. I mean, you don't realize like going to the gas station is an interruption in your day, right? I mean, it's just something you do. But my favorite paradigm is, you know, how many times with people with kids are you leaving work and you got to get to the concert, you have to get to the baseball game, you have to, you know, you got to get your kids to the play date, whatever it is. And you're like, oh, shoot, I got to get gas. Now, every day you wake up in the morning, you can have a full tank of gas if you want. And you don't have to do anything but a 5-second click, walk in your house, and you're good to go. So with this Charge Station Pro, again, prioritizing our F-150 customers, giving them what they need with the truck, I mean, it's almost seamless at that point in time. I recognize there will be some challenges for folks like you're calling out where they might have an existing product or things like that. But we're making sure that F-150 customer, they have what they need. And then we'll continue to watch the industry and we'll continue to respond to customers and make sure as this EV world grows, it's going to be like just exciting. And, you know, I'm sure you're looking forward to it because you're just going to have tough to talk about for the, you know, the next several decades. So I'm really looking forward to that evolution and how we move with the customer in that discovery. So,
yeah, absolutely. And it'll be interesting to see when Tesla, and I know you're not going to comment on other OEMs and their equipment, but they're going to be releasing a CCS to Tesla adapter soon. There's third-party versions. I have one here. It works sometimes. Tesla seems to send OTA updates to disable the vehicle so it can't use it. So they don't want you using third-party equipment, but they're going to be releasing their own CCS to a Tesla adapter. It'll be interesting to see if that works with Ford Charge Station Pro. Obviously, I'm assuming you wouldn't know at this point or you wouldn't comment on it. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, Tesla, as great as Ford F-150 Lightning is and Ford's Everest, Mustang Mach-E, they're great vehicles. Tesla, you know, right now owns 60-70% of the market share in the U.S. with electric vehicles. So a lot of F-150 Lightning owners also have a Tesla in the garage. I'm going to be one of them. I have a Model 3 and I'm getting the F-150 Lightning. So it'll be hopefully in the future, you guys can figure out how to make that work so that, you know, we don't have to have a wall full of chargers for every different vehicle that they own. I mean, I have a wall full of chargers, but I'm a little weird in that respect. But, you know, hopefully something can be worked out so that, you know, you'd be able to use Charge Station Pro to charge Tesla vehicles.
Yeah, and I expect as the industry moves forward, it's going to coalesce on, you know, a common solution. I think right now that's the ISO standard and the CCS coupler that you showed earlier. Mm-hmm. And I think as we move forward, we'll probably continue to support what's most common and most useful to consumers. So, yeah, thanks for the identification on that, though. It's good information.
Dom, do you want to pull any more comments or questions from the audience before we let Ryan go? I pretty much picked up all my main questions. So there's a question. Yeah, I was gonna grab that one. Dom, you're on mute.
So thanks, Tom. Doubly asks, does truck have DC to DC converter in line with DC output that is adjustable with OTA, which over the air updates?
So I'm not sure I completely understand the question, but we do. Yeah. So I have a feeling what they're talking about is call it the voltage levels on the vehicle. So, you know, most common voltage level is about 400 volts on a lot of electric vehicles today. There's some 800 volts vehicles coming out. With that, you know, you have to do a conversion of that power level to make it useful within the house, right? That's what one of the tasks the home integration system takes on is take your vehicle energy and turn it into energy the home can use. So in the future, you know, the sky's the limit on what you can do with electricity, right? It's been around for years and years and years. But right now, what we're doing with our system, with the home integration system, is taking that energy off your truck, converting it to usable energy for the home. And that's the dedicated system that we have in place right now. How you manage that moving forward, again, watch the landscape, see how it evolves. And, you know, Ford's getting really good at making sure that we meet our customers' needs. And if you think about the F-150, I don't think anybody's better in industry about listening to the customers and providing the tools that they need to get the job done. So as we continue to move forward with this new advent of access to electricity on your truck, we'll have our ear to the ground, and we're going to continue to make sure we're leading the market and what those customers want and need. Absolutely.
All right.
Good question.
Okay. Final question is, Ryan, when is Tom getting his F-150 Lightning? We would like him to be the first person in the US to take delivery so he can continue this great content.
Well, let me check real quick. Let me see when,
Maybe ask Darren Palmer that question for us, and who's a great guy. He came on the podcast once a few months ago. It was a great show. I know I'm up in the line, one of the first couple of waves, but I'm anxious to get the truck, and it'll be coming soon, hopefully within a couple of months.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I can say about the truck is it's you know, I've been in almost every electric vehicle, and when you sit in this truck, you know, you get into a vehicle with expectations, right? So you've been in trucks before, you've been in cars before, and you sit in a vehicle with expectations, and when you get into this truck, it's going to take all your expectations and throw them away. I mean, it's just going to, you know, I call it the do it again scenario. You put people in these vehicles like our F-150 Lightning, specifically the F-150 Lightning. And I was a do it again guy for the first like half an hour I was in it. And it was, you do the acceleration and it's like, do it again.
Right.
And you know, you're towing something and you do a launch with towing and you're like, look behind you and there's a trailer back there and you're like, do it again. So, I mean, I think this like F-150 is going to be the do it again vehicle. You know, I fully expect, you know, driving around with people and them saying, hey, wait, slow down again, do another 0-60. So I think when you get your truck, Tom, you're going to have a lot of people saying, do it again. So
absolutely.
It'll be pretty exciting. So hope it comes quick for you. Sorry, I wish I had more pull. I'm making sure you'll be able to use that truck for more than just moving down the road. So, from that perspective, I'm doing what I can for you, Tom, but, yeah, hope you get your truck as quick as you can. Cause it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. So, I guess that's about it. We hit most of our questions. We're up against, the hour. Ryan, thanks so much for coming on and doing this. I think the Inside EVs community is going to be really, is really thankful for having you on. And we got a lot of really great info here. And again, guys, if we didn't get your questions, put them in the comments section. I'll follow up with Ryan a third time and we'll get even more answers and until everybody knows everything about Ford Intelligent Backup Power.
Right. But if you have some questions that you didn't see answered today, you can check out Tom's State of Charge YouTube channel. And he's got two videos, I think the two most recent ones. And you can support Intelligent Backup Power. Click on that, and Tommy wants to say something.
Charging the F-150 Lightning.
Right.
And Tom and Dominic, I want to thank you for doing this. You know, you're keeping us honest. You don't pull any punches, and you allow us to get the information out there in a fluent way that people can understand. So, again, thank you for the time and appreciate it. And I'm really looking forward to seeing folks driving these things around on the streets and watching the smiles on their faces. And more importantly, when that power goes out, I'd hate to say it's going to happen, but I'm sure there's going to be some people out there hoping their power goes out once they get this truck, just so they can have the experience. So,
right.
And so they can gloat to their neighbors. You
know? That's like, right.
The
that's
neighbors
right.
are all standing outside looking around in the darkness.
That's right.
And they're out there having a cup of coffee on their front lawn smiling.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on, Ryan. We really appreciate it. And so I guess that brings us to the end of today's bonus episode. If you have any questions or comments, you can leave them on the Inside EVs Forum podcast thread or on our YouTube or Twitch comment sections. And like Tom mentioned, he'll try to get that taken care of for y'all. If you like the show, please give us a thumbs up. We really count on those if you're watching this on YouTube. And don't forget, you can find and follow our panelists on Twitter. Follow Tom Malogny at Tomalog. That's with two M's. I'm at Dominic underscore Y. I believe Ryan is too smart to go on Twitter. So click subscribe. Tap that bell icon for notifications. You'll see our next pop-up bonus episode, which is probably coming soon. And join us for our regular show, actually, tomorrow morning. And we'll see you all again in the morning. All right. Ciao. Here we go. That's not it.
We'll figure it out, guys. Don't worry. Yeah, we really are leaving.
We need Martin here.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.